You are Locked On Kings, your daily podcast on the Sacramento Kings.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, it is that time. Time for another episode of Locked On Kings.
Just over 24 hours away from the 2021 NBA trade deadline, at least at the time of this recording, what will Monty McNair and the Kings do? All these rumors circulating. Will it pay off in a lot of major moves for Sacramento, or will they continue a pattern of relatively uneventful trade deadlines? On today's Locked On Kings podcast, I'm going to be joined by Lena Washington from ABC 10 to talk about all these rumors, get her opinions on moving on from Harrison Barnes, Rashawn Holmes, and especially Marvin Bagley. Plus, after updating you on the latest rumors, I'm going to take you through some of the history of Kings moves at the trade deadline. There are a couple of patterns that stand out. It's all on today's episode of the Locked On Kings podcast. Hello and welcome into Locked On Kings, your podcast hub for Sacramento Kings coverage all regular season and all offseason. If you're looking for in-depth analysis, game-by-game breakdowns, highlights, interviews with local and national experts, full coverage of the Sacramento Kings from January through December, this is the place for you, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, and today's episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra. Only 2.6 carbs and 95 calories, it's only worth it if you enjoy it. Stay tuned for the Ultra Player of the Week coming up later in the episode. My name is Matt George. I have the privilege of being your host here. I've been a Sacramento sports radio host for over the last 6 years. This is season number 7 for me covering the Kings, both as an on-air host and multimedia journalist. And even though the trade deadline is typically one of my favorite times of the year, it's relatively uneventful for the most part for Sacramento. They'll make some moves here and there, but very rarely do the Kings make moves where they bring back a significant player in return. With the exception of Harrison Barnes in 2019, there really haven't been too many major names that have come to the Kings at the trade deadline, and we have heard that that might be a desire of the Sacramento Kings, whether it's an ownership desire or front office desire, Monty McNair's desire. That hasn't been made perfectly clear, but at least in the past, the Kings have struggled to acquire major talent at the deadline. They have done their fair share of sending out significant talent, at least on their roster at the time. I'll fill you in more on the recent history of the Kings at the trade deadline here in just a little bit, but I wanted to start by updating you on some of the latest rumors that the Kings are involved in here. There are reports now that the Dallas Mavericks are interested in Rashawn Holmes, but from what I've read, they're looking at him as kind of that backup center role, replacing what Willie Cauley-Stein provides for the team right now, and I understand why they are interested potentially, but remember, like we heard yesterday, the Kings put Rashawn Holmes on the same level as Harrison Barnes at this trade deadline, or at least according to reports, the Kings are not going to be moving on from either Barnes or Rashawn Holmes unless they get an offer that blows them away. And I can't imagine the Dallas Mavericks being willing to give up significant value for a player that they view as an important rotation big. The Kings are going to want a starter-level trade package for Rashawn. I don't blame the Mavericks for being interested. My opinion, there's probably no way a deal gets done. According to reports, the Denver Nuggets are interested in acquiring Harrison Barnes, and same thing, the Kings have said that they need to be blown away by an offer. So if I'm looking at a package from the Denver Nuggets in order to acquire Harrison Barnes, I imagine Michael Porter Jr. has to be involved for the Kings really to be interested, and some combination of Will Barton or RJ Hampton or draft picks back. I've seen some Kings fans float trades that are just Barton, Hampton, and a first round pick for Harrison Barnes. I don't know if that's enough. As much as I like Will Barton, the Kings are theoretically looking for players that can contribute right away. Would RJ Hampton and Will Barton contribute to Kings' success right away more than what Harrison Barnes has done this season? I don't think so. Also, I read an article this morning from NBC Sports Boston that apparently the Sacramento Kings, in their initial trade conversations with the Celtics, putting together a package for Harrison Barnes, the Kings said that they want Marcus Smart to be a part of the deal, to which the Celtics said no. Now, in this article, there was discussion on whether or not the Celtics should actually consider moving on from Smart or not. He is due a payday here pretty soon, and who knows if the Celtics are going to be able to afford what he wants. But regardless of that, I would love Marcus Smart here in Sacramento. I think he provides that grit, that toughness that this team is really lacking. But again, maybe I'm overvaluing Harrison Barnes like the Kings are. Maybe I'm being too stubborn here. A straight up Marcus Smart for Harrison Barnes swap, I don't know if that works financially, but just straight up player for player, to me, I still think the Boston Celtics get the better end of that deal, but not by much. Not by much. Again, the Celtics are the one in the desperation spot in this particular negotiation. They're the ones needing to add a piece that will help them make a NBA Finals run right away. Apparently, there are some jobs potentially on the line in Boston. Not necessarily Danny Ainge's, but high expectations from that Boston fan base versus here in Sacramento. As much as we would love to see the Kings end their playoff drought, there's no real major urgency for the Kings to move HB and to add a piece like Smart that can turn things around quickly for Sacramento. I think the Kings need to use that leverage and could use that leverage to potentially get more, but it sounds like for the most part, trade talks and conversation between the Celtics and the Kings have broken down. Of course, that doesn't mean they couldn't pick back up again in these final 24 hours. Before we get to my conversation with Lena Washington from ABC 10, I want to bring you through the recent history of the Kings and the moves that they've made at the trade deadline. I really started around 2005, 2006 that season, but the moves were so insignificant that I decided not even to talk about them. The first move I'm going to talk about is back in the 2009-2010 season when the Kings acquired Joey Dorsey, Larry Hughes, and Carl Landry, who was the main piece in that trade, plus some cash, for Hilton Armstrong, Sergio Rodriguez, and the main player the Kings moved on from at the time was Kevin Martin. I believe that was Tyreke Evans' Rookie of the Year season. At the time, at least heading into that season, Kevin Martin was the man here in Sacramento. The Kings moved on from that man when he didn't seem to fit too well with the new man in Sacramento, which was Tyreke Evans. Rookie of the Year, Tyreke Evans. And, of course, we know how that played out in the end. The trade deadline, 2012-2013 season. The Kings acquired Cole Aldrich, Tony Douglas, and Patrick Patterson from the Houston Rockets for Francisco Garcia, Tyler Honeycutt, and Thomas Robinson. What's significant about that trade deadline? Well, the Kings moved on from their disaster of a draft pick, T-Rob, and for the most part, got rags in return. Patterson at the time was a decent floor spacing big, and the Kings were hopeful for his shooting. Patrick came to Sacramento and basically forgot how to shoot, was never very exciting here. And then we jump all the way to the 2017-2018 season when the Kings acquired Joe Johnson, who never played for the Kings, and Iman Shumpert for George Hill. That was after the George Hill free agency signing for a significant amount of money didn't work out. That was De'Aaron Fox's rookie season. And then the following year is when the Kings acquired Harrison Barnes for Justin Jackson and Zebo. Also mixed within there is the Kings moving on from Malachi Richardson, sending him to Toronto for Bruno Caboclo, which is once again the continuation of a pattern. The Kings moving on from a first-round pick that didn't work out and getting basically rags in return. Same thing with Justin Jackson, except the Kings didn't get rags. The Kings turned Justin Jackson and Zach Randolph into Harrison Barnes. At least they won that deal. But the two patterns to point out is, and again, there are more trade deadline moves that the Kings made, which you can go and check out on basketballgm.com right now. Just Google Sacramento Kings trade deadline and it'll come up. But if you look through these deals, for the most part, they've been insignificant. Oftentimes, the biggest names being moved are leaving Sacramento, not coming to Sacramento, and there are far too many instances of the Kings trading away a first-round pick that didn't work out for nothing. That's the Kings' trade deadline history. And if that pattern continues, we're in for a relatively dull year where the Kings move on from Marvin Bagley and get nothing that significant in return, which is painful considering Bagley was a number 2 overall pick. I don't think that pattern will continue to a T, as Monty McNair is now in charge here in Sactown. But I do believe, at least my gut feeling at this point in time, is that overall, this is going to be a relatively quiet trade deadline for Sacramento. We'll hear from Lena Washington here in just a little bit. Right now, it is time for the Michelob Ultra Player of the Week, and this week goes to Tyrese Haliburton, who since coming into the starting lineup has looked like himself again after struggling to come back from injury. And then you talk about the game that he and De'Aaron Fox both had, scoring a combined 58 points against the Cleveland Cavaliers. A lot to like. With that backcourt going forward, it's great to see Tyrese getting back to his ways. Maybe now with the LaMelo Ball injury, there's a chance that Tyrese can get back into the Rookie of the Year race. But like Michelob Ultra, that grind that Haliburton has gone through is only worth it if you enjoy it. Michelob Ultra, 2.6 carbs and 95 calories. Joy creates success, and enjoyment isn't the end game, it's the whole game. I know already this year, Tyrese Haliburton has provided joy, happiness, and enjoyment for the Sacramento Kings, and I look forward to him adding success to that list of descriptive words. He is our Michelob Ultra Player of the Week. Michelob Ultra, are you happy because you win, or do you win because you're happy? Today's Locked On Kings podcast is brought to you by Paramount Plus. March Madness has returned, and Paramount Plus has the games you won't want to miss. Watch CBS games live on Paramount Plus, including the Final Four and National Championship game on April 5th. Paramount Plus is also the home of year-round sports, including the Masters, PGA Championship, UEFA, Champions League, and Europa League, the NFL, and more. Plus, get breaking news, expert picks, and highlights from all of your favorite teams with CBS Sports HQ, a 24/7 sports news network. Visit ParamountPlus.com before March 31st to receive a one-month free trial of Paramount Plus. That's ParamountPlus.com to receive a one-month free trial. Paramount Plus. Happy to be joined by a friend and now a partner from ABC 10. She's really the brains and the talent behind the ABC 10 sports department. Maybe her best trait, the fact that she has to put up with and be productive alongside Sean Cunningham on a daily basis. Lena Washington, so nice to join me here again on the Locked On Kings podcast with plenty to talk about as we are just around 24 hours away from the trade deadline. Lena, it's a pleasure to have you on. Thank you for coming back.
Thank you for having me, Matt. Yeah, I appreciate you inviting me on, and always good to talk to you about Kings basketball. We'll be doing that a lot more now that, Tegna has acquired the Locked On Podcast Network. So you'll be joining us on our YouTube channel and on abc10.com a couple times, hopefully the rest of the season. And thank you again for having me on. Lots to talk about.
Plenty to talk about. And I'm excited to break this trade deadline down with you here on the podcast, to probably do another roundtable with you and Sean after the trade deadline goes down, or maybe even before. But I don't know if you know, Lena, I went back and looked through the recent history of the Kings around the trade deadline. And I really started at the 2005-2006 season and went from there. There was a significant gap between the late 90s and mid-2000s of the Kings actually making trade deadline moves. But I'm going through this trade deadline, and I'm seeing a consistent pattern of the Kings making really unsignificant moves, using the trade deadline to move on from talent that really didn't work out. With the exception of the acquisition of Harrison Barnes in 2019, the Kings really haven't used the trade deadline to acquire significant talent, which might be a play or a desire of Monty McNair at this trade deadline. And then, unfortunately, there's the continuation of a pattern where the Kings typically will use the trade deadline to move on from their first-round draft picks that haven't really worked out. Now, of course, Monty McNair is a new general manager. The Kings are trying to go in a new direction. But I wouldn't necessarily be surprised, Lena, if we saw the continuation of that pattern here at this trade deadline.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right, Matt. And, you know, we saw how that trade in 2019 that involved Harrison Barnes and some other players kind of actually shifted this locker room in a negative way almost. And that involved Iman Shumpert in that whole flurry of activity we saw here, just kind of messed up the chemistry of this team that looked pretty promising again in the spring of that season. And we saw much of that last year as well. But, you know, I have a hard time seeing this team, moving forward and even contending for the 10th seed in the West this year, if they move Harrison Barnes ahead of tomorrow's trade deadline. He has been their most consistent player when he's not, you know, missing games due to injury. And up until that point, he had a great streak going of consecutive games played. But he, along with Tyrese Halliburton, which I would say is obviously Monty McNair's first big move and introduction here to Sacramento as general manager. So it will be interesting to see how he uses this opportunity now that he's in the driver's seat of this organization, we would hope, right, to really use his influence and expertise to take a step forward with this organization that's really hurting for a taste of success, not just a playoff spot to end this NBA long drought almost going on, you know, after this season. It's likely that they will hold the record for the longest postseason drought. But I have a hard time seeing Harrison Barnes and his contract moved, but I am very intrigued with the conversation involving Marvin Bagley. And again, in listening to your podcast from yesterday's Locked On Kings podcast, I would not blame him for wanting a change of scenery. Mm-hmm. It's no fault of his, of course, that his career has gone this way in playing 13 games last season, 37 the season before. And now 37 this season. Up until his injury, he had started in every game. And, you know, he had been one of the bright spots of this team in terms of his development over the course of the first half. But this injury again, just it's another setback for him and another frustrating moment early on in his NBA career. We've heard his teammates and coaches rave about how he can overcome this. We've seen him bounce back and battle this adversity that he's been met with every year. But I have to feel for him in wanting something fresh, a new start. And even in terms of the conversation, right, that we'd be naive to think is going to go away over who he was taken ahead of in the draft and why that decision was made. I'm sure that is something that he's going to continue to hear, at least in Sacramento and from fans here and even in national media, right, that does not cover him or interact with him on a normal basis, I guess. He's a great kid, a great player. He had been showing great strides of growth, but I wouldn't be surprised to see him not play another game in a Kings uniform.
Yeah, Marvin Bagley's really interesting because, like you said, I completely understand him wanting a change of scenery, if nothing else, just for a fresh start. But I did say yesterday that I hope that change of scenery doesn't come with the expectation from Marvin and maybe Marvin's camp, but Marvin's really the one that's most important here. That the moving on and moving out of Sacramento suddenly fixes everything, as if the issues with Marvin and the struggles that he's faced through the first 3 years of his career have been somehow the fault of the Kings organization and not Marvin himself. In fact, I would say it hasn't been anybody's fault. Marvin's just in crazy luck or bad luck when it comes to his injury issues. The fact that he has been a slow developer, a lot of that having to do with his injuries, and then also kind of the unknown of what position he's going to play, how he really fits with the Kings going forward, how he fits with De'Aaron Fox as part of that core. Now Tyrese Halliburton is there. That's kind of stolen his thunder really as the number two guy. And then on top of that, of course, the Luka Doncic comparisons. Now maybe the Doncic comparisons slow down a little bit with Bagley moving on. That's going to be a pill really that the Kings organization has to swallow more than Bagley does. But if Bagley is moved, it's not like these things go away. These expectations go away. Teams that acquire Marvin are going to want to maximize his value, or are going to believe, hey, I can turn this 22-year-old still into that 20-10 guy, or at least something close to that. And that's where, when we heard the reports that the Pistons turned down a offer of Marvin Bagley for Sadiq Bey, who we're talking about the number two overall pick in 2019, I believe it was, or maybe it was 2018, regardless, turning that down for the number 19 pick in this 2020 draft, which is pretty crazy to think about. Just a number two for a number 19, that deal not getting done. And it's clear because Detroit looks at Sadiq Bey and says, no, this guy has a bigger, higher upside, we think, than Marvin Bagley does. I think that was very telling about Bagley's value as a whole, and maybe opens his eyes and opens the Kings' eyes, all of our eyes, as to what the rest of the league thinks about Marvin. There still is so much potential there, but can you rely upon the guy because of the injuries, and do you want to take that project on?
Sure, absolutely. And, you know, all we've heard is rave reviews about how Marvin's taken every instance of injury or missing time in stride to get better. Even hearing him in the bubble and then to see what happened, you know, he was in a very good place. And then again, it's the streak of a series of unfortunate events mm-hmm. in these first 3 years of his NBA career. And I just don't know if that's something that this organization can necessarily afford to commit to long term after this history. Not to say that he does not have the potential, right, to blossom and be healthy and be the consistent player that we saw him to be this season, you know, and continue to grow. But I think, as you mentioned, to get an idea of whose ceiling might be higher comparatively, I think that's, like you said, very telling. And I think the Kings have also been able to see in comparison how Rashawn Holmes has stepped into this role when mm-hmm. they again committed to and paid Dwayne Dedmon. When that didn't work out, Rashawn Holmes answered the call, became this MVP of the team both last season and this season. I mean, 16 double doubles. He continues to impress and be consistent on both ends of the floor, and which this team needs a little bit more bite on the defensive end. And I think Rashawn Holmes is bringing it every single night. And to know that he has, again, only had wonderful things to say about Sacramento and raving about the organization in the city, knowing what's coming up this summer. He's already been fielding questions about what could happen in terms of movement, his commitment and identity here long-term in Sacramento. I think he has fit this bill, whatever it is that they ask him to do. He has continued to rise to the occasion. And again, with Tyrese Halliburton, Marvin Bagley's development, and Rashawn Holmes, those have been some of the great silver linings that this team has to offer in light of what's been a roller coaster season. He's been one of the more consistent pieces.
Final thing on Marvin Bagley. Of course, being a former number two overall pick, the Kings are going to want to try and get some kind of value. It sounds like the reports are they're asking for first round pick type value for mm-hmm. Marvin. And now Monty McNair didn't draft Bagley, but he still has this asset that he'd like to get value for, certainly doesn't want to get fleeced. Where do you stand on trying to hold for that value or just taking somewhat what you can get from Marvin right now and getting that what's expected to be around $11 million off your books, $11 million that you could use to re-sign Rashawn Holmes, to your point?
Right. I think now would be an opportune time to kind of make a move and not, again, continue this conversation, this what if, what could happen. I think that would just continue to weigh on Marvin and his camp in terms of if they are expressing this now, whoever it is, wherever it's coming from, if that feeling is here now, it's only going to linger and get, and you know, the buzz is going to get louder. I would say do what you can to get as much value as you can. And like you said, this team is strapped for cash and we're talking about big contracts, even having those contracts moved in terms of Barnes and Buddy Hield. They were some more names, you know, Buddy was also a name that was thrown out there in terms of a trade possibility, but I don't think there's another organization that would want to have to deal with that contract. Mm-hmm. And that's a lot of money that the team committed to Buddy not too long ago. So I think if you can get top value out of Marvin, I would take advantage of that. And this team has been in a constant rebuild, but if you're going to rebuild, you might as well get as top of talent as you can to ensure that this moves forward and at least does not stay stagnant with maybe a second round pick or another, you know, veteran that might not be as valuable as a young player.
I've been telling you about Built Bar, the best tasting protein bar on the market for a while now. Built Bar is the amazing low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber, delicious tasting protein bar with 100% chocolate on all the bars. And now we are trying to find out which Built Bar is the best. It is Built Bar Madness happening right now, and we are in the enticing eight. Today's matchup, cookies and cream versus coconut almond. Cookies and cream is my wife's favorite bar, so really my vote counts as her vote. We're picking cookies and cream to move on to the flavorful four, but I know coconut almond is a favorite from a lot of you who enjoy Built Bars. You can vote on this right now on BuiltBar.com or tweet at @bar_built on Twitter to submit your vote. Winner of this matchup moves on to the flavorful four and will take on the winner of either cookie dough chunk or white chocolate birthday cake, which you will be able to vote on that matchup and the other enticing eight matchups later this week and next week. Remember to go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off of your next order. That's LOCKED15 to get 15% off at BuiltBar.com and check back to see who won today's matchup and who will become the best tasting protein bar. After a six-game road trip where the Kings went 3-3, Sacramento is back inside the Golden 1 Center tonight to take on the Atlanta Hawks, one of the teams that they lost to during that trip. Tonight, the Kings are underdogs against Atlanta, but only by 3 points, and you can make money on this game as well as the rest of the NBA action, March Madness action, NHL, baseball, football during football season, not to mention all sorts of prop bets on betonline.ag, the official sports gambling partner of the Locked On Podcast Network. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your sports action. They have real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, the scores, the odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today, and you'll receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit when you use promo code LOCKEDON at BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. It's funny how things change over time. Going back to the Kings offering Harrison Barnes the contract that he got, and the general reaction, not just in Sacramento, but around the league, is, wow, the Sacramento Kings overpaid for Harrison Barnes. And then you go back to the contract they offered Buddy Hield, and it was, wow, Vlade was able to get Buddy Hield, an elite shooter, to sign in Sacramento to agree to all these incentives, but the contract is still under $100 million, which was expected to be, I guess, Buddy Hield's asking price. And now we've kind of flipped those, right? Suddenly, Harrison Barnes' contract doesn't matter too much anymore to all these teams who are very interested in acquiring him because what he brings to the table. And it sounds like there's really no interest around the league in Buddy Hield at this point because of his contract. It's just crazy how things change. Right. But the Harrison Barnes saga really over the last few weeks has just been crazy ups and downs, and sounding like Boston was extremely interested. We saw a report today that the Kings initially asked for a package from Boston involving Marcus Smart, and the Celtics were like, no way. And now suddenly they're considering potentially moving on from Marcus Smart if they're going to acquire a talent like Harrison Barnes. But also we're hearing Celtics have moved on from HB because the Kings really aren't budging unless they get a blow-your-socks-off offer. And I understand wanting to maximize the value that you have in Harrison Barnes right now. But I think in my conversation with both you and Sean Cunningham, Sean made a really good point of the fact that you're not getting a rental in HB. You're getting two more years, and the contract is going down each year. Not to mention, right, Harrison Barnes is 28 years old. You still have plenty more years of peak Harrison Barnes where he can offer that, not just to the Sacramento Kings, but to any playoff team or any team in the league at this point. So I don't blame Monty McNair at all for sticking to his guns, for being stubborn when it comes to Harrison Barnes. And if the major end, or if the end of that is, well, HB is still a Sacramento King for the rest of the season and going into next year, where's the loss in that?
Absolutely. And I would stand pat in terms of getting something of value that makes sense for Harrison Barnes, because he's having a career year, and sure, he can be a great piece for a playoff contending and an NBA finals contending team. But if you're the Kings, you got to get something for that. That's worth you, you know, trading away one of the most valuable pieces of this team's success this season.
And when you're looking at the Kings, the pieces that we know they would probably like to move at this trade deadline, or even maybe they're reluctant to move them right now. We're talking about Buddy Hield, Harrison Barnes, Marvin Bagley even. If they don't make a deal here at this trade deadline, going into the offseason, there's always more time to trade these guys. It's not like today or this trade deadline is the absolute last time you can trade them.
Sure.
But when you're looking ahead, Lena, to the offseason, do you think that is a good gamble for the Kings and Monty McNair, potentially a bad gamble? Can you see it being easier to move on from a guy like Buddy Hield in the offseason compared to right now, because that's another year of his contract that is done? Where are you at with that?
Yeah, I do. I think that that gives teams a little bit more time to settle and almost regroup after this season, right? Because we're all, you know, everyone's on a different playing field in terms of fans being allowed and where they're at in terms of just absorbing this unprecedented season. So I think after the dust settles after this year, I think we could see a lot more activity. And as you mentioned, things could change drastically in a matter of months in terms of the value of these players and what the market could look like. And I think that this would give obviously Monty McNair a little bit more time to evaluate and get a feel and a temperature for what's really going on in Sacramento. You know, he probably hasn't been able to spend as much time working closely with everyone in the organization as he would like because of the pandemic and protocols and just travel in general. So I wouldn't be surprised to see him be a little bit more encouraged to take risks and to make bigger moves over the off season. And again, maybe that's the opportunity to commit long-term to a Rashawn Holmes and secure that position after what we've been able to see him do so far. There's no telling how much greater he has to go in these remaining games the second half. But I wouldn't be surprised to see Monty McNair be a little bit more active in July then we see him in the next 24 hours.
I actually agree that I've had that feeling over really the last, I'd say 24 to 48 hours or so, feeling like that was the way that we're going, to where I'm sitting here today about 24 hours away from the trade deadline with the expectation that overall this is going to be a relatively quiet trade deadline, which may upset some fans who want that immediate change and immediate gratification. But for me, I'm just anxious to see overall what Monty McNair will do. Lena, we'll wrap up with this. Do you lean one way or another in terms of the Kings trying to make as much of a push as they can, which it sounds like is what they want to do, to try and get that 10th or 9th seed, to get into that play-in tournament situation, to have a shot at breaking the playoff drought? Or do you lean more towards, man, the top five in this draft is so strong, and we know the Kings' draft history has been bad, but if the Kings could finish with a top five pick, they could add a really solid young player to this exciting young core of Fox and Tyrese Halliburton. Do you lean one way or another? Because the Kings, once again, as they always seem to be, are smack dab in the middle of that purgatory.
Yeah, totally. And I think we discussed earlier in the season is that I'm of the camp of, if this is your year to contend for a playoff spot and at least get in and give your players even that experience to be in a playoff series, I would go for it. And as it stands right now, they are 3.5 games out of the 10th seed, which is owned by Memphis at this time. So, you know, that's where I'm at. And Sean Cunningham also made a good point that on the opposite side of the coin, you're not going to have fans at these games, and they're the people who've been mostly, you know, hungry to watch this happen. And you got to consider that and wanting to get them in the building, at least to watch some of these playoff games. However, you know, I think if you have a chance to make a push, and again, things could change. We've already seen a rash of injuries over the last week. And that's, you know, unfortunate for us as basketball fans, right? We want these guys and these teams at full tilt to get the true competitiveness of every game. But I would go for it. I would go for at least getting into the conversation of the play-in game. At this stage, you have guys who are continuing to develop in Tyrese Halliburton and De'Aaron Fox. He was even briefly in the all-star conversation in terms of his performances over the stretch of the beginning of the season. But I know that you felt that they weren't even going to be a 10th seed when all was said and done. Do you still feel that way?
I still feel like they don't have enough to get that done, although it's nice to see. It's kind of unfortunate to see that the Kings are 3-1 since Marvin Bagley went down, and I think it's an easy dot to connect, and it's unfair to say, well, Bagley was the root of the Kings' problems. It's just the inconsistencies of this team that I still have major questions about. But if Monty McNair uses Marvin Bagley and turns that into a player that can contribute right now, I could see Sacramento putting together a bit of a push. I just wonder if that is the right route to go. But at the same time, I hear what Tyrese Halliburton is saying, right? Tyrese is saying, no, I'm here to compete. We want to win right now. And De'Aaron Fox is entering into year one of his new 5-year contract extension that he signed for the Kings. If 2/3 of your core is here already, why wouldn't you want to get them that experience? Why wouldn't you want to see De'Aaron Fox, who's made 30 points a night now, something of a routine in the NBA this season? Why wouldn't you want to see what he can do in that playoff environment, even if it's just in the play-in tournament where you're going to a rival gym and having to beat a team twice in consecutive games? I think the experience is invaluable, but I'm also looking back at that top five and just my mouth is watering seeing some of those prospects. So truthfully, I'm in the middle. A lot of it depends on what McNair decides to do in the next 24 hours here.
Absolutely. And it, again, will be interesting to see what Monty McNair does in this upcoming draft. It will be his second go round. He'll have a little bit more experience and maybe leverage even to make this team a playoff contender. And again, it's been interesting. You know, this is my fourth season in covering the Kings, and seems like this time of year, it's either, you know, feast or famine, right? In terms of success and positive things to say about this team. They have been, you know, on the cusp of the playoffs for the last two springs. And then, you know, we even saw in the bubble, it was a playoff environment right then and there. And it did not go well for Sacramento. And they had a lot of adversity again in losing Marvin Bagley during the course of that stay in Orlando. But, you know, I think that at the end of the day, that was a valuable experience for these players to go through and understand that this is what you're going to be asked of every single night. This is what it's going to take. And we've heard over and over again, the buzzwords are physicality, basketball IQ. Mm-hmm. And those are two things that you can get more of in real time and get that experience in when you are a playoff team.
That is Lena Washington. She provides phenomenal coverage of the Sacramento Kings for ABC 10, but it's not just the Kings. It's really all Northern California and just sports in general. I mean, you saw her a couple of years ago with Sean Cunningham going all the way to Florida for the Super Bowl. So she is capable of covering any sporting event here, whether it's Sacramento Republic FC soccer, Giants or A's baseball, football. She's all over everything. So make sure you check out the work that she does for ABC 10. Also, Lena provides fantastic community work that I encourage you to check out, things like Boards for Change that is happening in the Sacramento community right now. Lena, thank you so much for taking the time here on the Locked On Kings podcast. I certainly appreciate you, and I look forward to doing it again very, very soon.
Yes, thank you for having me once again, Matt, and I'm certainly looking forward to the return of Bogdan Bogdanovic tonight in Sacramento.
We'll see what he does. It wasn't too exciting in Atlanta, but Bogey has had some great moments inside the Golden 1 Center. It'll be good to see him back, to say the least. It'll also be interesting to see what the Atlanta Hawks decide to do with him, because with all these injury issues that he's faced, suddenly he's potentially on the trading block in Atlanta. So Bogey is another guy that I think could be very valuable for the right team, but is Atlanta that right team? We'll have to wait and see. Big thank you again to Lena Washington for stopping by the Locked On Kings podcast. If you want to respond to anything that we talked about, respond to her thoughts, her comments on moving Marvin Bagley. She thinks now is the right time to move on from him to get something of value. Do you agree or do you disagree? At Matt George Radio on Twitter, you can tweet me publicly there, DM me privately there, or you can email me mgeorge@saclocalmedia.com. Before we wrap up today, I will share with you my final predictions for this trade deadline, as tomorrow's Locked On Kings podcast will come after the deadline is wrapped up. You will get my immediate reaction to whatever goes down, even if the Kings don't make a single move. But my final predictions are this. Harrison Barnes will still be a King. The Kings will not get any kind of blow-away offer. Same thing with Rashawn Holmes. Buddy Hield will still be a King, simply because there really is no trade market value for him. Nobody really wants his contract. I think Marvin Bagley will still be a King because Monty McNair will not get the value that he is looking for MB3 and will be hopeful that he can move on from Marvin and or Buddy Hield during this upcoming offseason. And I do believe Nemanja Bjelica will be either traded or bought out tomorrow. If he does get traded, I think the Kings are looking for and will receive a average to below average younger player, maybe a late first round pick, something like that, and a future second round pick. Those are my expectations, my predictions, I guess, for this upcoming trade deadline. Send me yours at Matt George Radio on Twitter, mgeorge@saclocalmedia.com. Enjoy the trade deadline and its chaos. You can follow along with me on Twitter. Feel free to email me your raw reactions to anything that goes on, any questions or comments that you may have. Please leave a review for this podcast if you haven't already. Apple Podcasts or iTunes, best place to do that. Hit 5 stars there. And of course, join me on tomorrow's trade deadline recap episode here on the Locked On Kings podcast. Until then, my name is Matt George. You have been listening to Locked On Kings, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily Sacramento Kings podcast.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.